You are now listening to a proud member of the Disney Podcast family. Go to DizPodcastFamily.com to find more on this show and other great Disney podcasts.
Pay attention, it's Joe time.
I can't believe it.
Oh, Mike.
I was on TV!
Gentlemen, my lady, you will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 77 of the Disney Universe Podcast. We are a bi-weekly podcast talking about everything in the vast universe of Disney, such as Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, Muppets, 20th Century, ABC, ESPN, I don't know, so much more. But we're here and back again. It's been a little bit longer than 2 weeks. I apologize. Things have been getting kind of busy, but they will get busier for the holidays. But anyways, glad you guys found us. I am one of your hosts, Joey. And, of course, with me is my little bro, my Canadian counterpart. I don't know where that came from. But what's up, Ryan? How you doing?
The Canadian counterpart. What's up? How's it going?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good. It's starting to rain here, so oh. It's cold. Getting ready for the puppy that's coming at the end of the month, so that's
nice.
Pretty exciting.
The trick-or-treater puppy. Nice.
Yes.
Very cool, man. I'm kind of jealous of the cool weather. Well, we're finally cooling down here. It was, some people say it was actually the first day of hoodie weather, and that was just in the morning. It warmed. It still got in the 70s, but it would have been a cozy Disney day, but we can't do that still, so it sucks for us, but oh well. We'll get on more on that in a little bit, but hey, once again, thanks for everybody for joining us once again. If you're new to the show, welcome. Hope you guys enjoy what you like, and we're here to entertain you, maybe get a couple laughs, make some new friends, and if you're one of our returning family members, welcome back, you guys. How are you guys doing? Now that we're back in fall, thank you guys for coming back and interacting with us, and yeah. And we also like to thank our very special and exclusive DU crew. So take it, Ryan. What's up with those? How do you become a DU crew member?
If you would like to join the exclusive group of producer Christy and Supervan Jen, you can head over to patreon.com/DU crew. We have three special tiers, the Marvel tier, Star Wars tier, and Disney tier. Marvel tier gets you a super special shout out like you just heard. The Star Wars tier will get you that super special shout out, plus a exclusive DU crew coffee mug. And Joey's making some super cool designs for that, and they should be coming out soon. Mugs?
Yes, they're actually have been made, and they will be shipped very soon.
Ooh, that's pretty exciting.
Shout out to our boy Jungle Cruiser.
Yes, sir. And if you want to join the Disney tier, you get the super exclusive shout out, and you can get a super cool DU crew t-shirt or art printable, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I'm still working on that, so that'll come out soon. And also with the first tier and all the other tiers, you also get a DU crew sticker. So
yes,
I think I might have forgot to put that in.
No, it's there. I just forgot to say it.
Ah, nice. But yeah. So we, of course we can't do the show without you guys. So if you want to help, help us out, or you like what we do, you want to join the crew, just head on over there, and we'd appreciate that. And it's a fun crew, too, so because we got some stuff planned once we get some more crew members, and like some exclusive chats or video conference calls, or hopefully soon some park meetups. But yeah, that's a bit it for the, business end of the show. But hey, let's go straight to clickbait. We got some good news here. Starting with the announcement that happened on September 28th, and this is from D23. So this came out. We are excited to announce that the next D23 Expo will be held September 9th through 11th, 2022 at Anaheim, at the Anaheim Convention Center. So D also continues to say Disney or D23 Expo 2022 will be a celebration unlike any other as we give fans a first look at the incredible plans for the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. Cool. Yeah, so this is going to be a very big convention like it always is. It's going to probably be bigger than any of the – they get bigger every year. I was kind of bummed that it wasn't going to take place next summer, but we're still in the times that we're at. I'm only disappointed that it's 2 weeks after Star Wars Celebration, which means we might be living in Anaheim in 2022.
We should just rent an Airbnb for a month.
Yeah, it might have to. We got a comment from a friend of the show, Anakin and His Angel, Jen Marie. She commented, I can't believe how close the two conventions will be to each other now. So, of course, that's talking about how close a celebration is. But I understand why they actually are saying next year that it will be the 100th anniversary of the company. So, very exciting. Yeah, I think we should plan to pretty much stay there from.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
From my birthday till the end of D23. So, Star Wars Celebration
Noise, folks. I was just getting my schedule to see if I have any weddings booked.
Oh, okay. So it's September 9th through 11th, and that's for D23. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get the schedule now for Star Wars Celebration, and that is 20th? August 18th through the 21st.
Dude, this could be so much fun.
So yeah, so let us know if you guys want to spend a month with us at an Airbnb. Let us know, we'll plan something.
Yeah. Join patreon.com/DU crew to help fund that trip.
We'll make a DU crew crew house for that.
The crew and house.
You could I don't know, whatever.
I like it.
But yeah, no, I'm excited. D23, I mean, people, it's a convention unlike other conventions because a lot of people know the major convention protocol, the weights, the, you know, the swag, everything. The thing about D23 that I tell people is you got so many people that are used to conventions, sorry, and people that aren't used to conventions, and they just go strictly for being that it's Disney. So they're the ones that tend to complain a lot about the long lines and waiting just to, you know, camping out just to watch a presentation. But I mean, it is a great one, but yeah, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do, being that it's so close to Star Wars Celebration, if they're even going to have a big Star Wars presence. But you know, we'll find out in 2 years. But yeah,
okay. I found a house for 3,875 Canadian.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
So, sweet. We'll get to that. We got time to plan. So,
if it's 9 people, we'll make this work. It's got 10 beds.
Good grief.
We're totally fine.
But what else do we got in the clickbait, Ryan?
Well, Disney announced, and I saw this through Disney Pixar's Instagram, that the new Pixar movie Soul that was scheduled to come out this summer has been pushed and changed to Disney Plus. So it will be released Christmas morning on Disney Plus. It looks like just the regular Disney Plus, not the Supreme Mulan Disney Plus. So yeah, I don't mind that.
No, this is a movie. I'm really looking forward to. It really grabbed me. The teaser was the first teaser was really confusing, but then the first actual trailer that showed around the last year's Super Bowl. Got more in depth with the story, and it looks like just another Pixar tearjerker that is just going to hit all the feels and all the right spots. Sadly, not going to be in the theaters. I love computer animated movies in the theater just because it's so crisp and detailed. But I mean, being the fact that it's going to be, you know, it's basically going to be a Christmas gift from Disney. Like, Merry Christmas, you get it for free. Well, with your paid subscription to Disney Plus, but. Mm-hmm. compared to the $29.99 for Mulan. This is a really cool move. I'm really excited. And, I can't wait. This movie is going to be really good. And But, yeah, we don't have really too much on the clickbait. If you follow our Instagram, I'm going to end with this. And this was a huge discussion, so big that we're not going to read the comments. And nothing against the comments. I actually want to praise everybody that commented because it turned into a really good discussion. And I was afraid I was going to have to kind of stop the comments because I didn't want nobody. I wanted people to express their feelings, but I don't want nobody digging at each other. And people were, had their opinions and were backing it up and stuff. So kudos to that. But I posted a picture of our wonderful governor here in California, Gavin Newsom, and big props to Udi from Leaving Today. He found the perfect picture for me to use, but I kind of made it where he looks like Hades from Hercules, and we've been calling him Hades Newsom. And I just basically put Disneyland's number one villain. And like I said, so I just want to read the post real quick, and if you want to read the comments, it is on Instagram. But once again, thank you everybody for commenting. Because anyways, let me read this first, and I'll do thanks. But here it goes. So here's how the post reads. We don't like to get very political here, but California Governor Gavin Newsom has got to go. He's a true villain. For months, they never set up guidelines for the many theme parks in California, which employs thousands of people. And not just the theme, and this isn't in the comment or in the post, but not just the theme parks, but the hotels, restaurants, and stores around the theme parks. And like I said, not just Disneyland, but like all over the state. So, thousands of people. And when the mayors of Anaheim, Garden Grove, and Buena Park came together and pretty much begged him to reopen, he then delays everything because it came out that there's different, depending on what you read, there's different reasons, but they said he didn't like how they were coming at him, so that's why he delayed it. And if you don't like him, you know he kind of abuses his power. Oh, I should have just kept reading. The guy has been breaking the law, abusing his power since COVID. COVID hit, and I'm tired of it. Safety to guests, employees is priority, but at least work with these places and help set up guidelines. I know many won't agree with what I'm saying, and let us know your thoughts in the comments. We're always open for a healthy discussion. And man, this post blew up. I can't even talk about the comments. I mean, I can. I bet that we got some very, very long comments, some short ones. We got a lot of support, and we got some disagreements. And there's nothing wrong. Like I said, we're always out for a healthy discussion. And even our disagreements came from two very close friends of mine. So I respect everybody's opinions and stuff. But yeah, there's some. I want to read some, but I want to get back to our main our main topic that I didn't even bring up. But did I announce our topic?
Nope.
Oh, well, dang it!
But one thing we were going to talk about that we forgot to talk about is all those cast members that lost their.
Yeah, so we'll get to that soon. And if you didn't know, this show we're going to revisit Galaxy's Edge, and we got a great, great, great guest, Amy Ratcliffe, who's a Star Wars writer, and she's actually wrote the book, the upcoming book, The Art of Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. And sorry to bring that up because, I guess we're on a little forgot how to record a podcast. But anyways, yeah, we got tons of comments, and thank you, everybody. Like I said, if you want to read the comments, go to the post. And after I posted this, news came out that Disney, everybody thought it was just Disneyland, but were they laid off how many at first?
28,000?
Yeah, and this is company-wide. Then like a day or two after that, they laid off another 400, which that 400 consisted of like actual Imagineers. They got rid of the minivan service in Florida. My niece, who's a cast member, she's a...
I forgot about her.
Yeah, so what? She's a coordinator at a couple of the resorts because she's been moving around. She knows 20 people that are the level higher than her were let go, but she still has her job because basically what they were told was, well, coordinators can run a whole resort by themselves. And so the upper people, the main managers, were the ones that let go. So she feels bad, but obviously she's, you know, still thankful for her job. So
yeah, no, I forgot to, I was going to message you about it and then I slipped my mind.
Yeah. And I wanted to get her on real quick, but we just got kind of busy with work and stuff, but
yeah, we'll get her on soon.
Yeah. But I wanted to give a shout out to our buddies at Podketeers. They shared a post from, if you guys know who, she was a vlogger and a content creator, Tiff Mink. She did stuff with Sarah Sterling and...
Oh, I know Sarah.
So Thingamablobs or Vlobs or... I can't pronounce it. But she actually, if you go to her page, and I'll set the links to this, but she actually set up a site or has the links of cast members that actually, if you want to help support cast members that were let go, but they have their own Etsy stores and stuff, and you can help support them that way. And I will put the links in the show notes. And again, big props to the head of the Disney Parks, Josh D'Amaro. Again, can't talk enough about this guy. But after they let all these people go, he was at Disneyland Resort and answering questions and talking to cast members that were let go. And this was a tweet that a cast member wrote. And shout out to other friends leaving today who posted the tweet. But basically, the guy said, you know, if he would have let us punch him if we wanted to, and he would have been okay with it. But
yeah, he's the closest thing we're ever going to get to a Walt.
Yeah. And I was on the recent Leaving Today show, and we talked pretty in depth about it and how I think that he is, you know, he will fight for this company and to get it reopened. But one of our followers kind of posted a real quick. We'll end it with this, but do you have it, Ryan? Go ahead. I'll let you finish this part because
yeah. So Disney released this the other day. The statement, but it was reposted by DisneyMom345. Shout out. So I'm just gonna read it. There's some big words, so I'm just gonna might skip over those. So this is from statement from Dr. Pamela Hamel,
which is Disney's chief medical officer, yes. I believe.
Sorry, my cat is sticking her head in my glass of water. So it says, we absolutely reject the suggestion that reopening the Disneyland Resort is incompatible with a, in quotes, health-first approach. The fact is that since March, we have taken a robust science-based approach to responsibly reopening our parks and resorts across the globe. Our health and safety protocols were developed in a consultation with epidemiologists, that's the biggest word I've ever seen, and data scientists. And after considering guidance from the Center of Disease Control and experts in local government and health agencies, all of our other theme parks, both in the United States and around the world, have been allowed to reopen on strength of our proven ability to operate with responsible health care and safety protocols.
Well said. Basically, everything that our governor has been saying is hogwash.
Yeah.
And all the measures, even without the guidelines sent by the state, all the guidelines, or, you know, Disney's medical staff has, you know, stepped up, and they're on it. Like I said, when I was down there at just downtown Disney, I mean, they're not joking around, and I'd imagine the rules be pretty strict. And even at the parks in Florida, like my niece, I mean, she said, yeah, people, you know, they're in masks, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and there hasn't been any cases of anybody catching it. So it's time to open up Disneyland, the only Disney park in the world that's not open. And that's the first time ever. So
it makes no sense either. It's not like you guys, your cases aren't insane, right?
We'll get too much into it. We'll get too much into it, but the testing, like, people are getting tested and people are coming down with it still, but the death rate, and these are CDC numbers. Shout out to Udi, he's always posting them. So no matter what age group, it's still less than 1% death rate. So it's kind of sad.
It's not
but,
that bad.
Yeah, so, you know, it's time to open. It be careful, of course, and they are careful. And if you don't want Disneyland to open or because you don't think, you know, everybody's got their own opinion, but one of the things I was saying is, if you don't want to go to Disneyland, don't go. I mean, mm-hmm. but, and it's not just Disneyland. Like I said, there's Disneyland, Universal, Knott's Berry Farm, SeaWorld, Magic Mountain.
Six Flags.
Yeah, and that's just Southern California. In the Bay Area, we got Discovery Kingdom, Great America, you know, Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. I mean, all these thousands of people are without jobs. So, anyways, let's get on to happier news. Let's go to Batuu.
Yes.
All right, so we're getting to Batuu, and before we get to everybody's comments and our favorite parts, we want to play a very special guest, and one of my favorite Star Wars writers. She was at the opening. Well, no, not even the opening, the preview before a Galaxy's Edge opened for Nerdist, and got a sneak peek of the park before it opened, and is actually writing the upcoming book, The Art of Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. So hope you guys enjoy this interview with a very special guest, Amy Ratcliffe. All right, guys, so I'm very excited and honored to have our next guest on the show. When we were planning this Galaxy's Edge Revisited episode, I couldn't think of anybody better than Amy Ratcliffe. You can find her on Nerdist, StarWars.com, a handful of books, including the upcoming Star Wars, the Art of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, coming real soon. Welcome to the show, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good, Joey. Thank you for having me on, like talking Star Wars and Disney. That's my basically solid, those, if they overlapped in my Venn diagram, I fill in the whole thing. So it's perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. And yeah. I've been a big, you know, Disney and Star Wars fan my entire life, even before, you know, long before the merger even happened. So, being that they're under one umbrella is like, oh, it's just perfect. And of course we get, you know, more Star Wars now. So, including the long-awaited park that we've had for over a year now, so that's why we wanted to go back since we can't reasonably go back
right now.
Unless you're in Florida, but you know we're over
here
in California, but still, we had the show planned for the year. But anyways, really happy to have you here. Like I said, a big fan of your writing and just the way, I mean, you can really tell you care about what you write for. Or what you write about, and when it comes to Star Wars, like I said, in my opinion, you're one of the best out there. So, like I said, I'm really excited to have you on the show.
And oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Oh, absolutely. So, I just, you know, we all find Star Wars at a, you know, different time. You know, back in the day, it was easy. You just had three movies, and now you got so many entry points to get into Star Wars. And so what was your moment that really grabbed you and you became a Star Wars fan?
You know, mine is kind of two-pronged, just in that my entry point was seeing the original trilogy when they were re-released as special editions in theaters, you know, in the late 90s. So I was in high school and just hadn't really been much exposed to Star Wars, except for writing Star Tours when I visited Disneyland for the first time in 1991. Had no idea what that ride was about, just that my much older like cousin really wanted to go on it. But I didn't really like fall in love with Star Wars, you know, until several years after I saw the films with when I saw Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Something about that animated series just kind of made me like do a double take and be like, I don't think I gave Star Wars a fair shake the first time around because I liked it, but I didn't like fall in love until Clone Wars like just opened my eyes, and then I went back and revisited the six films, you know, to that point, and just became obsessed.
Oh yeah, and when you say Clone Wars, do you mean the computer animated one or the 2D like short webisodes?
Good distinction. I mean the computer animated okay. one from Filoni and crew, however, Genndy Tartakovsky's 2D Clone Wars. I didn't see those until, you know, after I saw the CG Clone Wars, but going back and rewatching those, like, they're so cool.
Oh yeah. I'm a big fan of both of them. I just just had to make sure which one, but yeah, the Filoni ones were that series really grabbed a lot of people, and I remember seeing the movie. And, you know, just excited because it was new Star Wars. It was from an era that, you know, we've only been told about. And so it's like, you know, the movie was like, you could say what it wasn't the best. And Filoni still jokes around like, oh, I made the worst Star Wars movie ever and stuff. But, you know, in my opinion, as that series went on, it's like the writers and animators really realized like, wow, you know, we can do so much with this. And, you know, instantly became like some of the best Star Wars stories and characters that we saw. We, you know, especially with the breakdowns with Obi-Wan and Anakin, the main characters, and Ahsoka, of course. And yeah, that was such a great show.
Yeah, they really create something special. And like you said, the writing just got stronger. I mean, of course, all the technical aspects and just got better and better. And I think that's a tradition as far as storytelling, at least. Star Wars Rebels is obviously a different visual style, but they really carried over that. Just animated series, like telling the powerful stories tradition to Star Wars Rebels too.
Yeah. And I tell people like some of my favorite, like, you know, I love all the films. Of course I grew up with the original, but I tell people like some of my favorite, like Star Wars stories are from like Rebels and Clone Wars. The Clone Wars finale, that four story arc is in my opinion, some of the best Star Wars we've, you know, anywhere that's out there. And of course
it's remarkable. And you know, there are several arcs like that I can pick out where just like, yep, Night Sisters, that's amazing. Mortis, like, we're not going to get that weird nonsense. That's wonderful. And I mean that in a complimentary way in a film. So,
yeah,
anybody who sleeps on Clone Wars because it's a kid's, I'm using my hands, quote, kid's show is missing out.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I mean, we could talk about that forever. But
yes,
but, you know, but that'll be a different show. But also, like I mentioned, like I said, you're one of my favorite writers, and I'll say, like, you could tell you're a true fan, and it really comes out in your articles and stuff. But when did you realize that you had a really good talent for writing?
Well, first, I'm going to knock you a little bit for using the word true fan, because everybody's a fan, regardless of if they only like one thing or none of the things. So I don't like that phrase.
Gotcha.
I don't want people to feel excluded. but writing, you know, it was a kind of a long road for me. I really enjoyed it. It's like, you know, growing up writing like English, those classes were always my favorite in high school. And I was, or middle school too, the kid who always wanted to like, yes, please give us a weird book to read so I can write a book report about it. And my classmates would be like, could you just stop talking? and then I always had, through middle school and high school and then in college, had great teachers who, you know, when we'd have short story assignments, would work with me and encourage me. But I didn't really know what to do with any of that, like out in the world. I was not raised in a household that was like, you can be an artist, a creative. And so I was like, no, that's not where, those were not the expectations I grew up with. So I didn't even really think about it as something that could be a career until I was in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of blogging was becoming, it was just, I mean, it's even more accessible now, but it was kind of finding its legs about then. And I was just trying to figure out where I could make my own place in that, just to have a place to, besides LiveJournal, that was, you know, pretty private, a place that I could just speak publicly about things I love. And once Clone Wars came along, and I kind of just like, wait, I can talk about Clone Wars with people. I can talk about the things I love in Clone Wars or in comic books, which I was really just getting into at that time, or the things I already loved in Nerd World, like fantasy books or Battlestar Galactica. And I can do all that from a female perspective. And so that's kind of where I found, I'm like, oh, this feels great to mm-hmm. write about these things. And just like, it's meant to be in that kind of cheesy sounds cheesy, but in that way. And I just started practicing that and putting, you know, I had a day job in pet food at the time. And so outside of work hours, I was pouring time into trying to make my blog great and trying to connect with editors and people who I could, one, fangirl with and just like enjoy things, like enjoy all these things with on Twitter, but also people who worked at like IGN or StarWars.com and just could kind of naturally become work colleagues over time.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not cheesy at all because, like you said, it seems like every time a certain door would open for you, then it opened another door and another door and another door, which is, you know, that's what everybody kind of dreams about. And so, I mean, that's really cool. And then, I guess basically, like, I guess that led into your first, like, big break, or what was your first big break into the Star Wars universe, I guess, to writing?
I think it was, you know, on a couple of sides of things. From the being a writer side, you know, I connected with Matt Martin, who mm-hmm. is now a story group creative executive at Lucasfilm. But at the time, like, I think that was like 2011-ish, 2012, mm-hmm. was working for the .com side and really kind of growing that blog into including fan voices. And he very kindly let me participate in that. And then on the other side of things, through covering, you know, just gushing about Clone Wars and then eventually covering it for other outlets, I got to get to, like, I started to get to know publicity at Lucasfilm, and largely by the grace of the very sweet Ashley Eckstein for connecting me with a publicist there to get on the red carpet premiere for season 4 of Clone Wars, I believe. So just through kind of both those parallel paths, I made really good connections at Lucasfilm that helped me. Certainly, I got to write for the blog. I got to host panels. Speaking of like the animated series, I've hosted panels for both Rebels and Clone Wars for Lucasfilm at conventions, or sometimes at the Disney lot or at the Lucasfilm screening mm-hmm. theater. And that was awesome. And that led to like getting to host a stage at Star Wars Celebration and working with Star Wars Insider Magazine kind of came from that too. So it all just kind of like built up layer by layer. And, you know, it's something people are like, oh, you got so lucky. And that is definitely like, sometimes I'm like, oh, but I worked so hard also, but it is a combination, right? Of like working hard, being prepared so that when opportunities do come about and it is like that knowing people and that absolutely plays a part, like you're just able to jump on it. And that's what I've tried to do. And that eventually all led to like Lucasfilm recommending my name to write Star Wars Women of the Galaxy, which was surreal and great.
Oh, yeah,
that was a long answer.
Oh, no, that's a great book. I was going to get to that in a second. But yeah, I just thought about it. It's like Lucasfilm has always been really good about showing off the talent that is coming through the offices there. And, you know, having people, because I've been to a few Rebel screenings there, and super awesome just to be in that theater. But, yes. You know, just, out, you know, the Q&As and moderating, you know, those and then stuff all over, like you said, Disney. And, I mean, just that, again, another door opening to expand your, you know, what you love to do, just talk about Star Wars. And now you're asking the questions for the people in the audience. And, you know, I can imagine how awesome that would be. Kind of stepping away from Star Wars just for a little bit. You're also a big Disneyland fan. You even had a really good podcast I was a big fan of. And again, like you said, we're not open right now. We're the only Disney park in the world that's not open. It's sad. But of course, I got to ask, you know, what are some of your favorite parts of Disneyland and like kind of like what do you miss the most?
I really miss the ambiance, and it's something I've tried to recreate by like plugging in there some great YouTube like Disneyland sound videos like that are hours long that I put on sometimes while I'm working.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same, but I'll take it because it's being there. It's feeling Disneyland is always going to be my favorite Disney park. But it just has such a cozy feel, and there is something special about knowing how closely Walt Disney was involved with it. And that was kind of his baby. And so it's the ambiance. It's like walking around Adventureland at night. I love that part of the park at night, especially. I can't place why. I just like the sounds and the lighting. And you just kind of feel like it's your cozy place. And aside from that, I super miss Ronto Wraps from Galaxy's Edge, Dole Whip floats. Yes.
I agree with all that.
Like Disneyland popcorn, Disney popcorn, like regular microwave popcorn just is not the same.
Yeah, exactly. I think what it is about Adventureland, especially at night, and just to me, I love it because all the torches around, I don't know, like it's just, like you said, super cozy. And
it's like the mood is there, right? Yeah. It's just...
And especially with Tropical Hideaway now, there's even more torches and more places just to enjoy the ambiance day or night, so... Yeah.
Gosh, I have not been to Tropical Hideaway at night yet, and I need to remedy that. I've only been during the day.
Oh, yeah, very cool. And, yeah, Ronto Wraps, oh, man. I did not think those were going to be as good as they were. And I've only tried the regular one. Haven't had the breakfast one yet, but I've heard that was pretty good.
I've had every variety that exists, well, which there are only three. Like, I'm saying this like it's a Guinness World Record. No, there are only three kinds, but they're all so good. Regular, though, like, original... lunchtime Ronto Wrap is my favorite.
Yeah, so delicious. Yeah, I oh man, I can't wait to get back. So hopefully soon. But yeah, you're mentioning also being able to moderate some panels at certain conventions and even like Lucasfilm. I was at the one you hosted for the Mandalorian season one in Chicago. I was in that overflow room and in the front row too, so it was really cool. But like, what's that like being able to like host an entire, not just a panel, but you pretty much hosted that entire room for throughout the convention. Is that correct? Or
yeah, I host. That's like I always call it, it's like my stage. I'm so territorial about it for some reason. But I've hosted that stage for three celebrations now, starting at Celebration Europe in 2016, and then. It was called the behind the scenes stage, and now it's called the Twin Sun stage, which is a much cooler name,
exactly.
In my opinion. Somebody at Lucasfilm came up with the wonderful Daniel Kennedy.
Nice.
And it's wild. It's a ton of work. It's exhausting, but I get to spend all day talking to people who are really, you know, who are working on Star Wars, whether it's through stories, like they're working on the publishing side, writing comics or books, or it's people who are on the licensing side. Who one of my favorite conversations was with the gentleman, Brian, spacing on his last name right now, who designs the Star Wars Hot Wheels toys.
Oh, okay.
Which is not something I personally collect, but the enthusiasm and thought he put into getting those cars to bring elements of Star Wars in or the characters in, it was just delightful. So it's just a lot of really, I learn a lot, and just nerding out with people for 3 or 4 days or 5 days, however long the convention is. It feels like it's definitely one of those things. I'm like, at the end of it, you're like, it has been conservatively a million years since I stepped into this convention center, but also it flew by.
Yeah, exactly. But just the vibe. I mean, everybody was so excited for the Mandalorian, but yeah, I mean, even like that was the one of the big panels that I wasn't in the main arena for, but that was the one I wanted to see the most next to Rise of Skywalker. So just being in there, I was like, oh, you know, I hope it's still cool. Of course, you know, a dumb question. Of course, it was going to be cool and exciting. But man, just the excitement, you know, just watching it from in there was just, I mean, we were all just like we were in the auditorium. And I remember when they blacked out the screen and we're like, wait, we don't get to see it. And they're like, no, everything's cool.
Oh gosh, just... that's right.
So
that was those moments too, which is a real panic, like, especially with the things that are like live streamed from the main stage to the other stages. There's always a, just like, you're just like, please, please, everything work properly. I know we've tested it. I know you're all doing good work, but please, yeah. I do not want to be in this room if it breaks.
The mob. But, and like, you know, kudos to you. And I know David Collins owes one of the other rooms too, right? That.
Yes, he does. He's what a kind, talented gentleman he is.
Yeah, such a cool guy. love his soundtrack show podcast too. So
he's so insightful. It's pretty obnoxious actually that he's so smart about those things.
It is, but I played one of his shows from an older podcast that he did, but it was breaking down the music to Rogue One, because I have friends who are like, oh, that was like one of the worst Star Wars soundtracks. I'm like, are you kidding? And I
well, they're so wrong.
Exactly. And then I'm like, all right, listen to this podcast and listen how he breaks it down. And my friends were like, okay, I think I like it better now. So
yes, the David Collins effect.
Exactly. But other than like the Mandalorian, but what was some of your favorite panels that you were able to be a part of or moderate?
Let me think, because there are so many good ones. The Hot Wheels one was surprisingly awesome. And, you know, Doug Chang almost always has a panel at Celebration. And at Celebration Chicago, he had it on David's stage, which good for him. It's a bigger room. But I selfishly missed out because of that panel was on my stage the previous two times, and Doug really just puts together a presentation of kind of how he designed Star Wars. And it includes like a lot of lessons that he, you know, learned from George. And he just goes through this beautiful slideshow and just explains things in the most Doug. And I've talked to him a lot for the Art of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And the more I talk to him, I'm like, he is incredibly generous with his time, and mm-hmm. also just very smart, incredibly talented artist, and really well spoken in the way that like that he articulates these big concept ideas about design,
yeah,
to terms that like you and I can understand and make sense. So listening to him talk about Star Wars design was a gift, and that's probably one of my favorites. And then like hosting wise at Celebration Chicago, I got to host, there was a Star Wars Rebels panels we did called Rebels Remembered, that was just, you know, the series that ended. So it was just kind of a retrospective with Dave and Vanessa Marshall and Taylor Gray and mm-hmm. Tia Sarkar. And they're just a fun group anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so just to put them on a stage, the hardest time, honestly, I ever have with panels is if I have Filoni on them. I just have to be very mindful of the time. Because he's really good at giving long answers.
Yeah.
So he usually makes me sweat. Like I'm looking at my watch or looking at the countdown and being like, all right, Dave, other people need to talk. We got to. But yeah, like talking with that group for Rebels that was just such a fun time. I could reminisce for a long time. Just a lot of cool experiences, and a lot of cool experiences with fans at Celebration too. And I can't wait till we get to go back in 2022.
Oh yeah. I've seen a couple of Filoni panels, and yeah, it's like you get an hour with him with only like two questions, but it's still awesome. So
yeah, it's what I could listen to him talk about Star Wars for a long time.
Yeah. And same thing with Doug Chang. I mean, I saw him finding out that he actually had a big part of Galaxy's Edge from that panel that they had. And yeah. It was like, oh, you know, this is awesome. I'm seeing him on stage, and then he, excuse me, he was the one, you know, you always run into somebody like in the hallway, and you're like, oh, you know, can I get a picture with you and stuff. And so he was my one Star Wars legend that I saw in the hallway, and bugged him for a selfie. But like I said, he's super generous, and oh yeah, no problem. You know, at the very end of a long day, so that was like one of my highlights.
Yeah,
from Chicago, for
he's
sure.
He's a real treasure.
Yeah, definitely. Real quick, and you mentioned, I wanted to bring up, you mentioned it earlier, the Star Wars, the Women of the Galaxy book. That is such an amazing book. Not just the writing, but the artwork in it. And I mean, I think I told you this off air, but like I had that book, and one of my friends was going through it, and so I passed it on to her as, you know, as a gift. So I got to get it again, but I'm definitely getting it again. But what inspired you to write that? Because like I said, it's such an amazing collection that you did.
Well, first of all, it's so nice that you did that. very kind to share your books. I'm Not I. It's usually too, like, I'm like, this is my book. I'll buy you one.
Yeah.
This one is mine. So I got really lucky with Women of the Galaxy. That's where I will definitely use that term, is that it was something that, you know, Lucasfilm had been kicking around with Chronicle Books, and Chronicle Books, who Steve Maucus, who would eventually become my editor on the project, reached out to me and said, you know, Lucasfilm had mentioned my name and this is a project they were thinking about doing, and they wanted to, you know, really focus on making this a kind of a coffee table size book, basically, with lots of art from female and non-binary artists who got to, you know, draw the characters in their own individual styles. And so once I kind of heard the broad strokes, I'm like, yeah, of course, like, there's no way, I can't imagine saying no to this. Like, and to have that book be my first published, like, my first experience writing a book and getting published, like, what an incredible topic that I just got to, you know, spend weeks and weeks revisiting my favorite Star Wars stories. Cause, you know, as you know, it encompasses not just films, of course, but yeah, books and animated series and comics and video games. And I just, it was a great thing to research and revisit, but also dangerous, because I would just go back and be like, all right, I need to look up a passage or two from Lost Stars to get something about Sienna Ree. But I'm like, what if I just kept reading it again? And then I wouldn't get anything done. I'd blow my deadlines, but...
Got to do the research, though.
Yes, I'm like, I have to rewatch this entire arc of Clone Wars to pick out two sentences of the things I want to include about Ventress. It's just a must. So it was really fun, and just, you know, in some cases to learn more. Like, I was a little behind on comics at the time, so got to learn more about characters I wasn't as familiar with, and it was just a delay. I mean, stressful, because it's writing a book, and I always find writing to be somewhat stressful, but it's still, what a lovely subject to write about and just to spend so much time researching. And I just found so many more, like, other, you know, I had my favorites, of course, my favorite characters, but still found more, like, traits to admire and just lots of, like, warm, fuzzy moments when I was writing that book, basically.
Yeah, because my friend I gave the book to, she was like, you know, oh, of course, with, like, the newer trilogy and everything, it's like, oh, you know, there's, you know, so much like powerful females, but I'm like, but Star Wars has had some really strong females since the beginning, not just Princess Leia, but I mean, if you, Mon Mothma and so many, even like Padme and her handmaidens, I mean, people throughout the entire saga. So she's like, kind of threw her off guard seeing how many like strong women throughout the entire, you know, 40 plus year stretch. And so,
yeah, They kind of had some minimal showings for the original trilogy, better with the prequel trilogy, but the characters they had were really cool. And then once Clone Wars came along, like, forget about it. It's just, you know, and of course in the book, my book doesn't cover legends, but
yeah,
legend stories are chock full of very, like, well-rounded and interesting female characters. And that's continued in the new, or in the current storytelling universe too.
Yeah, one of my favorites is, I'm totally drawing a blank on her name, but she was cast as Mon Mothma in, you know, Revenge of the Sith. All the scenes were cut, you know, they're on the deleted scenes, but they're, you know, nobody saw them. And then until she pops up, same actress in Rogue One, it's like, oh, that's awesome. Then voicing her again in Rebels, I mean, being that part, like...
Oh, Genevieve O'Reilly.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, just that whole story, I mean... That's super awesome.
Yeah, I'm really glad she got to come back as that character, because she's great.
Yeah. So, almost done here. But we, like I said, this episode is our big Galaxy's Edge revisited episode, and I was really excited when the buzz was starting for The Land, and that you actually through Nerdist were I think select or you did the preview article before the Land opened. And I mean, what was that like, you know, being told, hey, you're going to Disneyland to preview The Land before everybody? I mean, I could just imagine.
Really cool. Is the best way to describe that. But that was, I think, February 2019.
Mm-hmm.
think. So it was, yeah, you know, a few months just before Disneyland opened their Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And it was a really cool press event that Disney Parks put together. So it was a relatively small group of journalists. And we spent a day at Lucasfilm and hearing, you know, kind of in that theater with different panels about, you know, kind of the ideation behind the land and thoughts about the design. And then we spent a day at Imagineering, which was super cool, hearing more from Imagineers about very specific things, like the data pad, designing like the tech, like the animatronics and stuff, mm-hmm, in the land. And we got to go into the shop and see Doc Ondar and Hondo and Naka before they were done, and DJ Rex as well, which was, so that was like, as a Disney Parks, that was pretty surreal.
Yeah.
And then on the third day, we finally got to go to the park, and we had to, you know, we got to visit the site, and we had some more panels there too about the merchandise and the food and beverage, and got to taste some things, which was neat. And then we straight up got to put on a hard hat and construction vest, and they were very specific about, like, we had to wear boots, like a safety first.
They OSHA's
were very
there
that, because it was an active construction site.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point it was 3 months out, so there was, you know, they didn't have a ton left to go, but it was definitely still not, you know, finished.
Yeah.
there were puddles, and like it had rained recently, so there were like pits in the ground with puddles, and interiors weren't entirely done. But it was a really, just as far as like the press experiences I've had, like that was a really like special one to me.
Oh, I can imagine. Then, you know, like I said, or like you mentioned earlier, you know, starting in with Clone Wars, you know, you ever imagine you would see a full size Hondo and Naka animatronic,
right?
In your
no
life.
I mean, then you see him and you're like, are you, this is, and you look a little bit like Jack Sparrow, and
exactly,
I wasn't expecting that. It's just like, of all the characters, like it's kind of,
yeah,
it's just, it feels not, I don't know what the right word is, but when there's like stuff from animated series that shows up and things like Galaxy's Edge, it just feels like, yeah, like I'm so proud. Like they're my children and they're out in the world and they're thriving.
Yeah. And especially like a character like that was just kind of like a side character, but you know, obviously he was popular enough for Rebels, and now he's a highlight in his, you know, the first Star Wars land that we get, and such a big highlight. So, and you know, I'm a big fan of Jim Cummings and love Hondo. So, yeah, I was super excited when I first saw him, and even heard that he was having an animatronic. I'm like, oh, but like you said, it was Jack Sparrow. But you know, he's an older Hondo, so it's okay.
Yeah, and it's an incredible animatronic, like, yeah, to watch.
Yeah, it's so
him
cool.
Move. It's just, it's, yeah, so impressive.
Yeah, one of my favorite. I mean, yeah, it's one of my favorite parts of the park. And also this past summer, and I guess what would have been considered a comic, well, I guess it was still kind of Comic-Con week, but it was announced that they're coming out with the Star Wars, the art, oh, sorry, I was getting the title mixed up, but the art of
Me
Star
too,
Wars,
honestly.
Galaxy's Edge book, written by you. So again, and like I said, being a fan of Galaxy's Edge and the art of books and you, I was really excited to find out this was coming out. And I know you can't talk too much about it because it doesn't come out for a few months still, but I mean, what was that like, you know, kind of getting that call to do this book?
It was really exciting and really daunting because, of course, you know, Phil Shostak, who works at Lucasfilm in the art department, he does the art of books for the films. He's done all but one of them.
Yeah.
So he sets the bar high, and he's obviously very, like, hands-on with the art, working there in a way that I am not. So it was daunting, but luckily, of course, my editor at Abrams Books, Walt Disney Imagineering, and Lucasfilm all really pulled together because, you know, it was a lot of, this land has been in the works for several years.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of, they did a lot of hard work, especially Imagineering, digging through all the files and collecting things in a very manageable way. And I just dove right in. And it's really, you know, as you said, I can't say a lot, but I can say, like, it's a special book. And we all know, if you pay attention to Disney parks, that Imagineering tends to be pretty secretive, I think.
Yeah.
And we don't get to see a lot of, they create and generate so much art for the work they do, and we only get to see a small fraction of it, like on the Disney Parks blog or something. So this book, I think, you know, Doug Cheng said they did approximately 3 feature films worth of art for Galaxy's Edge. So obviously we couldn't fit all of that in a book, or it would be very, very large and impossible to pick up. But there's a really good mix of art for things that exist in the land and ideas that they had that didn't quite work out. So I think it'll be a treat.
Very cool.
I hope
that you can, I mean, depending on how collectors display it, but it's part of same part as the movie ones. I mean, that's just super awesome, I think, because, you know, how much they care about the land that, I mean, they put it on top there with the park or the movies. And I just like how you can add that to the collection. That's just super cool.
Me too. And it is very much designed to match those books. So same, because as somebody who likes to look at my shelf and have things tidy and like fits the same size, like I'll fit right in.
Excellent.
We looked at jacket colors. Like, did the jacket colors, like, would this look nice with all of them? It will. Okay, good.
Perfect. And I'm going to end this with one more question, and it's still with the Galaxy's Edge theme. But say, you know, they came to you, Imagineering, Walt Disney, and said, we need to add one more thing to Galaxy's Edge to make it completely perfect, that little cherry on the top. What would you add? They want to know what you want to do. What would you add?
What would I do? Oh, there are so many options. What would I do? I think that it's a hard question.
It is.
I'm like, could we just have Ahsoka in the land? That's an easy ask. That's a consideration. Like, I always think about, like, when you have performers and cast members in the park, and, you know, California and Florida both are not exactly cool places to be in the summer. So I always really feel strongly for anyone who has to wear any kind of heavy costume or prosthetics or headtails. I think if I could add anything, that'd be more of, I would want more droids. Like, there are a good number of droids, like in the oil bath and outside Droid Depot. But if I could have droids that roamed around somehow, that would be a logistical nightmare. But if we're blue skying, that's what I would want.
Yeah, I remember D23, I want to say it was the 2017 one. Yeah, because that's where they had the big pavilion. And they actually had a droid roaming around and he was like completely like wireless and not being controlled. But I don't know. I guess I'm basically a bad way of saying I agree with you. We need more droids. Some like Gonk droids, or I'm a big fan of Pit droids. Everybody makes fun of me on my Mando podcast, but
they're so cute.
I love those guys. Yeah.
So. I love at the end of Star Tours when you get that ending on Naboo with the Pit droids.
Yeah, it's awesome. So. Yeah, more. I agree. We need more variety of droids. Definitely would be awesome. So
yes.
Well, Amy, man, thank you once again. Like Zach, I probably talk to you for hours and just about different little things here, but you know, I'll let you go.
But, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show, and it's just a pleasure to talk about Star Wars and Disney and just kind of nerd out. So
absolutely. And but before you go, can you let our listeners and our social media followers know where they can find you if they want to look up? Because you also, I forgot to mention this, but you also got a couple books coming out before The Art of Galaxy's Edge 2, right?
Yeah, I have. It weird how timing works. 3 things coming out at the beginning of November.
Oh, nice.
So I will quickly plug those.
Absolutely.
Quickly. The first one is Star Wars Ellie and Me, a children's picture book set in the land of Galaxy's Edge that will be available exclusively at Target. Super cute. Highly recommend it if you like cute art, even if you are not a child.
Yeah.
Then on November 10th, I have a book called The Jedi Mind coming out. That's about combining the Jedi code and the Force with actual practices for mindfulness. And so it's a little Star Wars and self-care all combined in one beautifully illustrated package. And Then on the same day, I also have a short story in the new From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back anthology that is about an original character I got to write. It's set on Hoth, and she's pretty cool. I'm excited for people to meet her.
Awesome. I can't wait for that to come out. The first one was so cool, so I'm glad they're doing
I mean, yeah.
That's another podcast episode right there just talking about the point of view. That's such a great idea. So, yeah, I'm really excited for the Empire one because that's my favorite Star Wars movie, so seeing everything tied in.
Same.
Awesome.
Same. So, yeah, folks can keep an eye out for those, and I post about them on social media, on Twitter and Instagram as Amy_Geek, and then my website is amyratcliffe.com, and I have a whole section with my books and pre-order links and more information than you could possibly want about me.
Well, awesome. So once again, thanks for coming on the show. It was nice meeting you in person. We're in Chicago at the podcast meetup that we had at the hotel bar, so that was really cool. And hopefully we can talk about Star Wars with a Ronto wrap at Disneyland real soon.
One day, I hope so.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Joey.
All right, you guys, I hope you really enjoyed that interview. Such great time talking with her. And definitely check out her books coming out, and especially The Art of Galaxy's Edge. I always, like I said, I mess up the title every time. The Art of Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be an awesome book, and you definitely want to add that to your collection. But
I will,
of course,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Being that it ties in with the art of books from the movies, I mean, these things are so awesome. But, man, let's get to our chance to go to Batuu. Man, okay. It started summer 2015, D23. I was in the auditorium for the live action panel, and we just ended the Force Awakens panel, which was amazing. You know, the hype on Star Wars was as high as it's ever been. And how did that panel end? Bob Iger comes out and pretty much announces a Star Wars land in two parks, California and Florida, and the crowd went crazy. And the people that were in line for the Disney parks were mad because they thought this should have been announced in that panel, but he announced it in the movie one. Then fast forward two more years, D23, we actually got our first look at what Batuu would look like with a massive, massive a model and a couple just little, they had Duck Undar and a bunch of sculpts and what some of the ride vehicles were going to look like and stuff. And very cool display that they had at D23. Fast forward to Star Wars Celebration 2019. Me and you were at the Galaxy's Edge panel hosted by Josh Gad, who we saw at the Junk Cruise.
I always forget that he hosted that.
Yeah.
Like, so, you don't, like, you're like, oh my God, I saw like Daisy Ridley. But yeah. It's like, oh yeah, Josh Gad was there too.
He was. And
do we see Mark Hamill?
No.
He wasn't there, right?
He might have. I don't know. I didn't see him.
Was he on the Rise of Skywalker panel?
I don't think so. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't there, right? No, okay.
No.
I just forgot.
But, yeah, so, I mean, this was a land 5 years, pretty much 5 years in the making. Then fast forward to May 31st, 2019, you were there opening day. Okay,
and
we're going to go our initial feelings. Tell us. I mean, you've told the story before, but you know, tell it again. What was it like being Galaxy's Edge day one?
Oh, it was just like, I think I got there at what, like 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Was behind Justin Scard and Adam Liu and Fresh Baked the whole time, so that was pretty cool. And then I guess like, I've told the story before, but I guess to tell a different part of it is when you get first in the Galaxy's Edge, I was kind of weird because it's like, you know Disneyland like the back of your hand, but you've never seen this part before. It's like, so it's kind of weird that way, but other than that, it was amazing. I'm sorry again, Joey, for messing up. I'm always going to feel bad about that.
I probably couldn't have gone anyways. It's okay.
It's okay.
Let it go.
Okay. But yeah, it was just like insane, just the energy. Like, you've been to Disneyland like so many times before, but I've never felt like that energy before.
Yeah.
When like everyone's excited for the exact same thing. Like in the mornings, you'll get like a little group that's excited for Indiana Jones or like Splash. Sorry if that offended anyone. But yeah, it was like everyone's just there for one thing. It was crazy.
So description, you guys corralled up in Tomorrowland.
So we
then
got in main gate, then went down the side of Main Street, down the cast member entrance, went through what's the store in Tomorrowland? The Star Wars Trader? Store. No, the
Launch Bay?
Yeah, Launch Bay. We went through there to get our wristbands and check in, and then we all kind of like were lined up down the side of Matterhorn, between Matterhorn and the lagoon. We waited there for like a couple hours. And then Josh DeMero walked through that crowd and said hi to almost every single person. Like, people didn't even know who he was. And they're like, oh, hi, how's it going? I'm like, he runs everything. Like, it was crazy.
And he was the president of Disneyland at that time, yeah.
Yeah. He was saying thank you to everyone. It's like, no, sir, thank you for making this possible.
Yeah.
And then we walked through Fantasyland. And then waited, like, at the Galaxy's Edge. I won't say Galaxy's Edge gate, but, like, at the entrance for, like, another hour. And it was, and then they just kind of let everyone go through.
What entrance did they have everybody go through?
Big Thunder.
Okay, so the middle. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And, yeah. I mean, what did it feel like once you were through the tunnel, I guess, the under the tracks?
It's like just a overwhelming holy shit feeling. I don't know how else to describe it.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it's like, which way do I go? Where is everything? Like, and then I just saw people like, and again, there's no, if you've been, you know, there's no like, oh, this is a restaurant kind of like logo or signage. So I just saw people lining up and I didn't know if it was like for the Falcon lineup or the Cantina, but it was the Cantina. So I lined up and like randomly lined up behind other podcasters. Which was cool. So, made friends with my shit. Sorry, I forget what their.
It was the Mousetalgia Minute.
Yeah.
One of their sideshows.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then I went, yeah, made new friends there, and then went in and had, I had the blue milk with the cookie on it.
Cool. We'll get to the food in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, and then saw the Falcon, and I think me and Joey had the same reaction. And then I just kind of walked around. I was supposed to only be there from 8 to 12.
Yeah.
But I was there from 8 to 4.
Yeah, you kind of hung around there, right?
Yeah, because I had a wristband, but I wasn't going to leave till someone told me.
Yeah.
And then right at like 4 hours after my time, someone's like, you're in the first group, right? I was like, mm-hmm. They're like, you're supposed to leave 4 hours ago. I was like, no one told me to leave. I thought because they were supposed to make announcements. There was no announcements. So I just tongue out and took a bunch of pictures and ate a lot of food.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. We'll get to like the food and favorite parts and merch in a little bit. Yeah. I'll kind of go with my initial reaction. And this was, you went in May and I didn't get there till the D23 of that year. And I just remember the anticipation of walking into the park. I mean, it's always exciting when you go into the park, but being that, all right, I'm walking into finally Galaxy's Edge, seeing the peaks and the parking structure for years. And I went the left side all the way around through Hungry Bear, and that was per Udi. He told me, for your first time, you got to go that way because it's almost like the slow burn, especially with a rise not being open yet. So we go there, and it's just, you know, you go under the tracks, and, you know, oh, it's a new, you know, finally the new land, and then, you know, it's just nothing, it's just something basic and stuff, but then, oh my God, there's a power generator, and you start hearing sounds and space sounds, and you start seeing, you know, astromech droid tracks and gonk droid tracks in the concrete, then, okay, there's another power generator, then there's a freaking A-wing. They're full size. There's an X-wing. It's like, holy crap, this is so cool. And then you kind of make your way to the entrance of the marketplace, and it was just like, oh my God, you know, this is literally out of this world. Didn't see the Falcon right away because we try to not see it because we had an early reservation for Oga's Cantina. And so we got in line there, but walking by like the droid depot and seeing the, you know, just all the droids and the speeders and, you know, seeing the TIE fighter or the shuttle, the First Order shuttle there, super cool. Then of course the stormtroopers interacting with the guests and everything. But oh my God, once we got inside of Oga's, we sat up at the bar and I felt like Luke Skywalker on A New Hope when they stand up at the bar. And, I mean, just the detail. We're on the opposite side of DJ Rex, but, I mean, the music's blasting. Everybody's in there. I mean, it felt like Star Wars. We were in a Star Wars. <You know? laughs> That's a little Craig Robinson tribute. You know, of course, and the key drink, I'll get to the drinks later. Well, since it was the first time, I had my Yub Nub because I wanted my Battle of Endor tiki mug, which I love. It's detailed. So awesome. And so we had our drinks there, had a good time. It was myself, producer Christy, and one other friend, Mike, I believe. Sorry if I forget. But no, that was cool. Of course, I walked up to DJ Rex, took the pictures and everything, and so cool. Then came the moment I saw the Falcon for the first time. And that was, I became an 8-year-old again. I'll get more to it in a little bit. Cause I actually got it where we kind of get into, sections about our favorite part, but I want to start reading, we'll read a few of our comments here. And, you want to start or you want me to start?
You can start.
I'll start. Speaking of my first time seeing the Falcon, A Squirrel Gone Wild, that's producer Christy, she wrote her memories watching at JPity23 cry entering Galaxy's Edge for the first time. I wasn't crying. My eyes were glossy. There's video
in your eye.
Yeah. There's video on here somewhere. And then it says, I don't know what YW means, but YW, Joey, and three hearty emojis. And I'm like, I deleted that video. And I think somebody else commented on something, but I don't know what it was. But all right, what else? You can read the next one.
Amy Geek says, Tilda Spires.
Yay! And that is Amy Ratcliffe.
Yes.
I'll let you read Jay Vendettas, too.
Okay, super fan, shout out, Patreon, DU crew. Getting to go with my 88-year-old friend that is a huge Star Wars fan. Her interactions with Chewie, in brackets, almost made me cry. She was also able to meet Rey, who is her hero, in brackets again. She got to be the right and left pilot of the, I think that's supposed to say, Millennium Falcon. Also getting to see her daughter's boyfriend see the land for the first time. Watching him be amazed at the things that were just like the movies was pretty awesome. Then there was a time I got to meet Joey and producer Christy. I am guessing this couldn't beat that, but... I love the Ronto rap. Yes.
Ah, yes. That was a fun time.
Oh, yeah. And then she says she meant to say Millennium Falcon. I was confused. But yes.
Awesome. I'll read one more comment, then we'll kind of go back to ours a little bit. This comes from Ken Gresset 37. I met two of my favorite podcasters there, JPity23, that's me, and Hacks Goalie. And this was really awesome because me and Udi were waiting for our time to build our lightsaber, and Ken walks up and he says, "Hey, are you Udi and Joey?" And we're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, you know, I'm a big fan of both podcasts," and because I had my DU hat on, of course, and so yeah, he came up to us and he's like, "Yeah, we're about to leave, and but you know, I figured." I saw you guys were going to be here, and I figured you'd be in Galaxy's Edge. So I wanted to see if I could find you, which he did. So it was very cool meeting. And me and Udi, we were like the fans. We're like, "Oh, let's grab a picture." And we're going to go ride Falcon after this. You want to ride with us? But him and his family had to go. But I mean, that was just super cool that being recognized by somebody, and you know, for both podcasts too. That was really awesome. So
we're making a difference.
Yeah, so it was really cool meeting you, Ken, and I hope to one of these days to ride that Falcon with you hopefully soon.
Yeah, if the parks open up.
Yeah, so we did our initial reactions. What is your favorite part of the land?
The bathrooms.
No, just the refreshers. That's what they're called.
I have a fun bathroom story about opening day, but I won't share that on the show.
That'll be on the bonus show.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
Simple story. Ryan might have been one of the guys that christened the bathrooms in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. It's also how I got through the time crunch of trying to be kicked out. So I hid.
Editing videos.
Yeah. What was the question? Oh, favorite part.
Yeah.
I guess the marketplace, but I still haven't done like two key significant things in the land yet. I haven't been on Rise and I haven't built a lightsaber. So yes. I'm going to just say the marketplace just for the theming and like the food. So yeah, I guess say the marketplace.
Yeah. The marketplace is amazing. My favorite part is so hard because, well, first of all,
you've done everything that it has to offer, right?
Yes. Okay. I haven't built a droid, but I've been in there.
Yeah.
So this is my favorite by a very, 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 no, it's not. I don't know. Okay. They're tied.
Okay. What's your top two, Joey? What's your top two?
Okay. Top two. And they're super tied, but the Falcon, I mean, that's not a secret. Like when I walked up. No, just seeing the Falcon.
Just seeing it? Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, for the first time, like, the video is there. It's on our IGTV. I might share it again because I don't know why because I like embarrassing myself. And I didn't cry, mainly because Christy was, you know, anytime I started feeling really emotional seeing it, she's like, "You going to cry? You going to cry?" So it's like I couldn't. So I had stage fright, I guess. But, I mean, seeing that piece of junk up close, mm-hmm. and I'm not the only one. You see videos on YouTube, a compilation video that Disney Parks put, and you know, people my age and kids just looking at it, eyes all glossy. Fun fact, every time the three times I've been to Galaxy's Edge, every time I see the Falcon for the first time, I kind of tear up a little bit. But
makes sense.
I've tried, you get so many angles of it, and from the line, from the queue, from everywhere. And I always try to get a different angle. And it's just being there is just so cool. And I posted a picture of one of my shirts that I was wearing from the Neverland Trading. I got a good feeling about this. It has a Han Dice. But I've shared that picture a couple times. They shared it. I had a friend, she commented, like, "How did you get a picture with nobody around?" And I'm like, "I have no idea, but it worked." But yeah, so the Falcon and not the ride. I do enjoy the ride, but just seeing the actual, seeing her there, right there is just amazing. And every time gets me. And my other tie is building the lightsaber. I've never had like a really expensive Force effects lightsaber. I've always wanted one, the Luke Return of the Jedi green blade. Never got it. I've always had like the cheap plastic one. So being that this was my first really expensive lightsaber, and you get to build it, and the ceremony they do, I mean, I had chills the entire time. It's a good like 10, 15 minute little experience. And I mean, oh God, I can't recommend it enough. I'm glad Corey was there. Jungle Cruiser, was able, I gave him my phone. I'm like, you got to record this. So,
yeah.
So that when you build your lightsaber, cool, I hope to do that for you too. Cause
yes,
Udi, he has made two and he wants to make another one. I might make another one. For me, I don't know if the experience will be as emotional. It was seriously emotional, doing it. And, especially when you ignite it for the first time, but, yeah, I mean, what they, how they do that is just amazing. Yeah. And of course your favorite part, food. We got some good food at Galaxy's Edge. What are some of your favorites?
Ronto Wrap is probably one of the best things Disney has to offer for food. It goes like Surf and Turf at Blue Bayou, and then popcorn, and then like Ronto Wrap.
And have you tried the other ones or just the regular one?
I had a bite of the breakfast one. I think my dad got that one. I wasn't a big fan, but yeah. And then the food at, what's the restaurant called?
Docking Bay 7.
Yeah. Docking Bay 7. I tried opening day, I tried like three things, and it was like, okay. Nothing blew me away. It was kind of like, eh, I'd rather just go get some food in New Orleans Square. But
and your wrap. And your glass Jell-O?
Yes. Yes. So I'm sure you guys know the story, but in December when we were all there at Oga's, I got the Jell-O with the Pop Rocks, and there was a big chunk of glass in the Jell-O that I took a nice big bite out of, and they're like, oh, sorry. That's it.
Come on. Don't be such a womp rat. No. Yeah. Yes. The Ronto Wrap is legit. You're telling me about it. It looks so weird. But I almost didn't get it because I'm like, I saw people walking around with it. Then I saw the price. I'm like, $13? I don't know.
Okay, opening day, it was like $7.50.
Oh, okay.
And they're so good. I don't blame them for hiking up the price. But
yeah, but when you get to that, you know, the flavor and everything, yeah, I have no problem paying $12, $13.
And the juice that they have at that place, like the sun, Tatooine Sunset and like some other ones. Oh, that's some good juice.
Hey, some good juice.
Yeah.
Did you try the blue milk at all?
Yes. So I've tried both blue milks. There's two different ones. The one at Oga's is like a thick milk, and it's weird. So I like the frozen one a lot better. I haven't tried the green one. I just tried the blue one.
Okay.
But yeah, if you like thick milk that tastes like berries and like 2% milk, then... I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird drink.
Yeah. I haven't tried either one of them. I wanted to try the regular one just because I like the bottle it comes in at the milk stand. They have one. Yeah, so it's a plastic bottle, and it lights up. But it has
a Bantha one?
Yeah, so there's a Bantha on the blue milk, but if you get the green milk, it's that water cow from Last Jedi, if you get the green one.
Huh, okay.
So I'll probably try that next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I had at Docking Bay 7 was a drink, a non-alcoholic beverage. And shout out to Brian Sims, buddy. He was the one I ran into. Another story. I'll bring this up in the miscellaneous, but at Docking Bay 7, I think it's the Moof Punch. Moof. I don't know. It's a real pineapple-y, citrusy drink, but it was very good, and it was hot, so it was really refreshing. But I want to say Moof Milk, but it wasn't milk, it was a punch. It might have been Moof Punch. I should have got the menu before, but I don't know. But let's read some before we keep going on, let's read some more comments. Do you want to do the next one from
Sure.
Leaving Today?
Sure. Me. So Leaving Today says a couple of things. Experiencing Galaxy's Edge with at Hax Goalie, at Errol Brianna, and at Blondie from day one. And just being in awe of everything and watching a lightsaber being built. And then going back at night and being transported into another world. Second being on boarding group 47 for opening day on Rise of the Resistance with people that are important to me and being able to experience it all for the first time.
Nice. And I believe that comment's from Mark. So he went there first with Udi and his two daughters. Then I believe everybody on LTP was there for opening day on Rise of the Resistance. And I was supposed to be there, but I forget why I didn't go. But great comment, though. That's awesome. Next comment is from our friends, our good friends at Skywalker Through Neverland. And they write, and this is from Sarah, because at the end she wrote, Sarah, wow, so many memories. I think one of my favorite things was meeting a Lothcat for the first time. And experience a part of Disneyland that I didn't know where everything was. Like you mentioned, it was like a totally different experience.
Yeah.
That was so cool to discover things. For once, I had no idea where the refreshers were, which are, like I said, the bathrooms. So that's awesome. That's from Sarah. And I'm not sure if they posted it, but ever since they put the walls up, they had a hashtag and it was like Star Wars Landline, and they're different listeners and followers of the show. Every time they would go, and both Disneyland and Disney World versions would take a picture by the map and everything, and they were going to try to superimpose everybody, all the different Skywalkers in line together. So,
nice.
Hopefully they could do that again. That was pretty fun. I took a few of those as that was a thing, checking out the doors. Would you like to read the next comment?
Yes, this is from JC, Corey in the House. He says, my highlights are getting to experience the lightsaber ceremony with JPity23, Hex Goalie, and Jerzona. Then just after that, meeting the Punster in person for the first time. That'd be me.
Oh, tears. Yeah, that was a fun time. That was so great.
Patient Zero, Corey.
Yeah, we blame him. And we got a comment from our good friends at the Star Wars Fandom Report, Mike and Jeressa. Most memorable moment for me has got to be getting to go to Galaxy's Edge for the first time on Father's Day with my son. I've honestly dreamed of a Star Wars land my whole life, and getting to experience it for the first time with my son is something I will never forget. Seeing the Falcon in person and trying to hold back tears. LOL. I know what you mean, buddy. I feel you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, so amazing. And the Ronto Wraps and the Blue Milk are definitely our favorites. We can't wait to go back. 100% on all of that. And I can imagine being a lifelong Star Wars fan and be able to do that with your son. I mean, that's some life memories there. So just reading that got me teared up. I'm like, aw. So let's see, where are we at? We did food. I didn't really get to my food, huh? I guess I did. You know what? I'll kind of continue there, the food, because I didn't eat much. We tried a few things at Oga's that I really can't remember. So obviously Ronto Wraps, number one. But the drinks there are very interesting. Yub Nub was probably my favorite one. It's a little bit tart. It's a little bit more than I'm used to that I like, but it's still really good. Second time, I think that when you had your glass Jello, that's when I tried the fuzzy Tauntaun, and that was interesting for sure. I didn't care for the flavor because I'm not much of a peach. I like peaches, but not peach liquor. And so the flavor, I mean, it was good, but I don't know. I might not get it again, and it's just because I'm not much of a peach person. But that the foam that makes your lips buzz.
Oh yeah, the fuzzy Tauntaun.
Yeah, that is an experience for sure. I'll probably try. I think Udi, he really likes the jet juice. It looked like a shot glass, but he said it's really good, and he's had that a couple times. The last time I had a couple space beers, and it's just regular beer, but I like the glasses. I'm still contemplating getting the Rancor beer flight little.
Yeah.
they come in like little teeth muglets with a board. Yeah, but
that looks cool if you're a beer drinker.
Yeah, but I'll definitely try some more drinks there when we're there. It's funny because I've never been there later than like 10:30 in the morning. So you go there, get a good buzz, and but I think what they do there is great, because I know the big controversy before the land opened was, you know, alcohol in Waltz Park, and I'm like, it doesn't matter when you're on the outside of the tracks, but they
yeah,
do.
I think I was one of those people that was kind of throwing a hissy fit.
Oh yeah, and I mean, you got every right to, but I think they do it good. It's like they do a good job of rushing you without trying to rush you, but still rushing you, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, and it's being a very rushed experience.
Yeah, and being that you can't take a drink outside there. I mean, there's no big deal, and I mean, I don't know. I think it's well done for, you know.
Yeah, I was expecting like a DCA where you see everyone walking around with beer.
Yeah, so I'm glad it's not like that. So yeah. And I'm good. So they got good drinks and stuff. Let's see, merchandise. Have you done any much shopping around here at all? Or
yeah, well, I got. What did I get? Where's my little thing? I think the cat knocked it over. I got a little. When's that? You do yours first.
Well, okay. Obviously, the first number one is my lightsaber. The whole, like I said, the whole experience of putting the lightsaber together and constructing it from beginning to end. I chose the green one. I had my eye on the green the whole time, but I do have a yellow and blue crystal and a white crystal, so I change them every once in a while. One of my favorite also is my Han Solo dice that I hang for my rearview mirror, and those are legit and heavy, and I'm afraid they're going to crack my mirror sometimes. And my deck of Sabacc cards, which I still got to learn how to play properly.
In our month stay at the
yeah, exactly. Hopefully I learned to play before 2022, but yeah, definitely we'll do that. I got a really cool Millennium Falcon tumbler for my coffee or tea, whatever I'm in the mood for, and a couple pins, but the merchandise, I actually really like it. And going into Doc Undar's, the Den of Antiquities, there's so much like just,
cool
I don't
stuff.
Say knickknacks, but yeah, just like the, yeah, the statues, the busts, and the,
yeah.
There's so much stuff I want in there, and even the Rebel, the Resistance little booth where they have just like jackets and stuff. I got my eye on a couple things, but what do you got?
I have, I don't even know what this is, but it's
oh, cool.
It's like a little miniature model of the Falcon with the spires behind it. And I also have a, well, I got this. I didn't get this in Galaxy's Edge, but it is a. I think it's limited edition 500 metal print of the first like picture they put out of the Falcon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then another thing, it's not from Galaxy's Edge, but it is two. It's the map from opening day, opening morning, like the super exclusive one that they gave out. I gave you one, I think. I think I have. Yeah, I gave you one.
I haven't got it yet.
Well, it's somewhere. I have it. I have one for you. And I have my wristband framed, so from opening morning.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything else from Galaxy's Edge. I'll do a lightsaber eventually.
Yeah.
And but I can't right now because the park's closed.
Yeah. We'll go to Florida.
Yeah, well, I am in June.
Oh, nice. I always joke around that, like, one thing about Star Wars is sometimes you'll be the good guys are sometimes will be the bad guys, but it's like all the merchandise I want are like Resistance or Rebel merchandise. I haven't seen anything real like First Order that I want, but
I had the Darth Maul bust.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
But then I moved and didn't have space for it, so I got rid of it. But it's pretty sick.
So that Millennium Falcon thing that you got—that's like a ceramic. It's pretty heavy, right? I think I've seen
it. No, it's not that heavy.
Like, okay.
I can just do that with.
No,
one
looks
hand.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. But my cat knocked it off, and there's a little broken piece, so I got to find and fix that.
Right on. Kind of going back to the question that we asked Amy, if you had a chance, Disney came to you, say, Ryan, put on your Imagineer hat. We need to add one more thing to make the land complete. What would you add?
Dining experience.
Okay.
Like, something like with a show, maybe. But something to do with dining, because they have a nice stand, the Toronto Raps, and then they have Docking Bay 7 that I don't see that when I was there last. I never see it too terribly busy.
Yeah.
So they need like a kind of like an experience with a show.
Maybe. Like a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah, like $100, you get like 90 minutes, you get a meal, and you get a show.
Okay. I agree. That's my one thing, and mainly because when we got our original first sights and first concept art, that was in the plans for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
They had a sit-down restaurant. They had live entertainment. You saw like a cantina-type band in there playing live music. They had Twi'lek dancers. You know, everybody was in character, and I want that still. I mean, because you can't really – I don't think you can add another attraction because the two attractions that are there are so good in story. I mean, once you write – I'll talk about Rise of the Resistance a little bit. I mean, I know you don't like the Falcon. And you can. We'll talk about the attractions in a little bit. But they can't really do another attraction without it being – I mean, you don't want to add like, oh, the little – you know, Puffer Pig ride or, you know, something for kids. I mean, but a dining experience, an exclusive dining experience, like a, you know, Galaxy's Edge version of Napa Rose and Carthay and Blue Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the $60 and, you know, it's going to be expensive, of course, but I think for the experience, it would be well worth it. And one thing that Amy mentioned too, is I want more droids roaming around the land too. And I kind of went back to, like, when I mentioned that they had the droid roaming around at D23. They said, oh, yeah, they're going to have this in land, and they're supposed to have a BB-8 little meetup, kind of like what they had in Florida. And I mean, you can have Gonk droids. And you, I mean, you can have – I want more aliens because there's backstories on, like, Oga and Doth Thungard. You see them, and they have comics and stuff. And I think they were supposed to have an Oga at the bar. And I don't know if you – I've mentioned this before in the past shows, but you know in Rise of Skywalker when they're at the that big old festival in the desert?
Yeah.
That alien group that's, like, doing the dance?
That's Oga.
That's right? A species that Oga is, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool – if you get the Galaxy's Edge cookbook, there's a really cool story on Oga. So, yeah. No, yeah. Our hearts are definitely in our stomachs, and I would they still got the room to put a restaurant, I think.
You know what? They could add for rides, kind of like a Navi's River Journey, but with a lot more animatronics. Like, the animatronic they made with the big blue chick, like, I've just seen videos, and it looks insane. They can definitely have lightsaber battles. Like, they could do something where it starts off where they, like, because I know they want it to be, like, dated to, like, in the timeline or whatever, but they could start it off with, like, Ray's, like, I'm going to tell you a story about the past and have, like, Luke and Han and Vader and... Or, like, do the saga in, like a river boater.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to tell you a story. And then just... Like, kind of like how Scuttle at the beginning of The Little Mermaid. Just start off with that.
That's a... Oh, man, that's a great idea. We'll do another one of our Blue Sky episodes and do more in-depth. But, oh, man, I think that's a great idea. I got one more comment, and this one was actually in our message. That's why I almost forgot about it. But this is from our good friend, Anakin and his angel, Jen Marie. And so she commented or left a message. I have many favorite memories from Galaxy's Edge. This one in particular is a pretty funny story, though, and it taught me something new about Batuu. One night I was roaming around Batuu with my Kylo Ren's lightsaber in hand. Chewbacca spotted me and was not happy about it. There's some great Chewbacca interactions at this land. He pointed to the ground where I spotted a line which looked like a large crack across the ground, separating the resistance area from the First Order area. He communicated that I needed to stay on the bad side with my lightsaber of choice. I never had seen that line until he pointed it out. I don't know if it was intended for that purpose, but Chewie sure thought it was. That's a great story. That's pretty cool. I wonder where that's at. I wonder if it's... I have to ask her. Do you know anything about that?
No, no, but I will take a look-see next time I'm there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, but the number one greatest thing about Galaxy's Edge is Hot Ray.
Yeah, I haven't seen Hot Ray yet. But going to the miscellaneous, I saw the real Ray. So then this was the D23 after the Saturday panel where they had the Rise of Skywalker presentation. But me and my friend Brian, a great photographer, and he treated me to like that Moof juice. But as we're walking in, he was he's an awesome photographer. So he was taking it where we came in the Fantasyland side, the First Order side, I believe. So he was taking a picture of one of the generators before you get into the land. And I see a flannel walking our way. And behind her was a young woman. And she had like a hat kind of covering her face, a real fancy hat. And I'm like, I saw the jawline. I'm like, dude, I think that's kind of like our Josh Gad. I'm like, dude, I think that's Daisy Ridley. That's Daisy Ridley. She's like walking towards us. And you see like two girls behind her, like in her group. And she was kind of walking like real quick, like, oh, I need to hurry up and get out of here. And he was looking, I was like, are you sure? And I was not close enough to get a good picture, and it would have not came out. But as she walked by, I'm like, that was totally Daisy Ridley, like less than 10 feet from me. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that was. Then there's a young kid following him, and she was like, it is her, you know, like all excited because, you know, I mean, and this is one thing I love about Star Wars. Is just a connection of kids and these characters. But, you know, this was like a 10-year-old little girl who obviously raised her hero and just, you know, saw her hero in a real person. And yeah. She's like, it is her. So, yeah, we saw Rey and Daisy Ridley leaving Galaxy's Edge. And that was awesome. But, yeah, you've seen Hot Rey a couple times. Speaking of, like, the characters, I love – not love. Well, I love Chewie's interaction. The stormtroopers are awesome. Kylo Ren always seems a little too small for me when he's walking around.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I've never like thought about that, but now that you said it, yeah.
Because he's like the same size as the stormtroopers. Adam Driver's a big dude, you know? He's solid, and this guy's like, whoever's Kylo Ren is like really skinny and real tiny. They're not very intimidating. Like, you see Vader at the parks, and he's intimidating. I was like Captain Phasma. She was intimidating, and Kylo Ren was. Yeah, I love his character, but yeah.
No, I agree with you.
Do you wish there was more interactions, like a Finn or?
I'm not really big into that. Like, oh, okay. I don't do character stuff, so
yeah,
I don't care. I feel like it makes more of a crowd.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just my opinion.
I'm trying to think, because I know there's that original character, Val, from the books, and she's a resistant spy, and you always see her kind of, like, scooting around. I finally saw her when we were waiting for our lightsaber, but you see certain areas around, like, where the market, obviously where the First Order is, and the Falcon, and, like, the store, but there's all these, like, sidewalks and scaffolding where you'd think there'd be some, like, character interactions or... Even Florida's even done like some shootouts, like battles with Chewie and Rey shooting against stormtroopers.
I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, I saw when they had more of that.
Pre-COVID, they stopped like the pyrotechnics, right? Like, because at the beginning, like there'd be sparks and stuff, like with the shooting. Did they stop that?
I've never seen it at all. So.
Yeah, because I've seen that.
Well, you were there opening day, so they probably is a special.
That's true. But,
it's something I wish they would do more stuff like that throughout. I did see this one interaction that was really good, and I started recording too late, so I kind of got the back of it, but it was in the marketplace, and me and Udi were one of the small stores, and you see like Chewie interacting with people. Then you hear Rey, so you hear them interacting. So then I go to follow them, and there you see them behind the pod race engine that's cooking the Ronto.
Oh yeah.
And so Chewie's they're both kind of hiding. Rey's kind of like ducking around. And like you said, well, there was a big crowd around and it was at night too. So, but what happened was there was two stormtroopers, trying to frisk a guy. Then they actually, not they didn't cuff him, but they actually started walking him like, you're going to be detained. You're not giving us the information we need. That's and so they cool. actually started walking him out. Then Ray pops out and, you know, kind of uses a force on him. And
that's pretty cool. I've never seen that.
And I saw the back of it. So people were in the way, so I couldn't get a good video. But, I mean, you can hear everything. And she's like, you will let him go and go about his business. And you can go and go about your business and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then like, you will go back to where you came from. Let's go back to where, you know, let's go back to base. And they go and the crowd all clapped and everything. And then Ray obviously took a picture with the guy or something. But,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, oh, man. Yeah. Everything about this land. I mean, for years, rumors were that Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge, was going to be a remodel of Tomorrowland. So there's going to be like a light speed roller coaster, a speeder bike roller coaster, and the Millennium Falcon ride. And it was going to be too theme parky, but I like that it's an original story. Because it makes it, and it sounds cheesy and everything, but it makes it sound like it is your story when you're in there. I don't know.
Yeah. I get that.
But, so, I mean, being inside the Falcon is really cool when you get into the Smuggler's Run, but you're not a big fan of the ride. What is it that doesn't do it for you? Just wondering.
It's such like a Universal Studios ride. Like,
okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's just a screen and like some shaking.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if they, like, even shot air at you or something, or made it a little bit more enhanced, it'd be cool. Or,
if, like, if you got shot at or damaged, smoke would kind of, like, blow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like,
I know they can't do sparks in people's faces, but at least the smoke.
They can do the smoke because they do it in Big Thunder. They blow that right in your mouth.
Yeah.
but, yeah, there's just not much to it. You just sit down and you watch a screen and you slam some buttons. And soon those buttons are going to start breaking because people punch them for 12 hours a day.
the light speed's not going to work.
Yeah. You know, I just was kind of like, I think even after my first show, I was pretty let down. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping Rise of the Resistance blows my mind. So,
dude.
That's all I hear. So,
insane. Yeah. First of all, like, yeah, it's cool being in the Falcon and piloting it. And so the first time I was an engineer gunner, and it was pretty fun. Then the second time I was, like, engineer, and the people were with, like, they were pilots again. And producer Christy turned into Mom Christy, and she's like, no, Mike, you be gunner. Joey hasn't been a pilot yet. So I got to be Han Solo.
Nice.
And that was pretty cool. And I think because my piloting skills are so awesome, we got like an extra scene or something before the end of the ride. So that was pretty cool. But no, yeah, Rise. Oh my God, dude, you're going to lose your mind.
I'm hoping so.
I still haven't even seen the videos after I've ridden it, but I'm sure the videos don't do the ride justice. It is insane. Craziest thing. I mean, I thought Radiator Springs Racers, like, how can Disney Imagineers, like, top this? And I've heard the same thing about the Avatar, the Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
But then my friend who loves that ride in Florida, shout out Matt Clifton, he's like, dude, Rise of Resistance is, like, the pinnacle attraction right now. So, yeah, I want to be with you when you go on it for the first time.
Yeah, man.
And you'll hear, because I know we have there's kind of a debate, when does the attraction start? And I want you to get on that debate, because...
Okay.
Because, I mean, I know you've seen videos, right?
I've skimmed through videos. I tried not to watch them, and then I was like, they're just everywhere, so I was like, I guess I'll watch one.
Because I say the attraction starts when the show starts, not necessarily the ride vehicle starts.
Okay.
And the show starts pretty damn early before you get to the ride vehicle.
So, like, would you say Guardian starts when you enter the room?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, but Rise is... it's... Not as much, but I think it's different with Rise.
Like, see, I'd say The ride, I'd say Guardians doesn't start in like Rocket's room, but I'd say Mansion starts in the elevator.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. And I say, yeah, and I won't give too much away, but yeah, the way this starts.
Yeah, well, in 6 years when I can go on it, when Newsom opens up Disneyland, I'll let you know.
Oh, you'll, like I said, we'll meet in Florida.
Yeah. I might have to do a couple trips to Florida next year if they don't open up.
Yeah. And before we talk about Galaxy's Edge, I know we've talked about it briefly in past episodes, but like now they've opened up the Wonderground Gallery Presents Star Wars Trading Post. Yeah. And you could get merchandise at Target.
And now it's all on Shop Disney, like lightsabers and everything.
I
was not happy about that.
Yeah. I'm not a, and yeah, so obviously that you just answered my question. So what do you, but I saw the, lightsabers at Target and some of the droids and they, I mean, they even say like Galaxy's Edge and stuff and I'm not a fan of it either. I feel like being at Galaxy's Edge is like not a rite of passage, but it's like, it's an exclusive thing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm just
the Jedi showing robes and everything.
Everything. You can click there and get all the lightsabers. And then
see,
all the plush are coming soon.
No.
Yeah.
Like that's not right.
The whole thing was these are exclusive to Galaxy's
Edge. You can buy
Edge.
Exclusive Jedi robes and lightsaber belt clip.
Yeah, and the sleeve.
Yeah, because you get one, but that one has like pockets and stuff and
mm-hmm.
Oh my God! They got a whole like Rey's.
They have everything.
Outfit. And
nothing is exclusive anymore. It's lost.
No,
it's.
And I get that they're losing money. Well, it's not. Are they losing? Well, I guess. But that's a lot of stuff they're selling.
That's like everything. That's the whole marketplace.
And then the plush are coming. There's no reason for them to sell the plush and especially
plush are coming next.
The legacy lightsabers.
No.
Yeah, those lightsabers should be exclusive.
Those lightsabers. Next time we go to the parks, they're going to be on Main Street. I'll bet you $10 within the next year and a half when the park opens, the lightsabers will be on Main Street.
Let's hope not.
they're selling them now in what's it called? What's downtown Disney in Florida?
Disney Springs.
Yeah, they're in Disney Springs now. And the park is open. They're in a shop, just in like a glass display case. It doesn't take too much room. But they shouldn't be in Disney Springs. You go to Hollywood Studios and you go into Galaxy's Edge and you buy it.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I took pictures of some of the droids and stuff. I was not happy. But then at the same time, I did find the Black Series DJ Rex.
I'm still looking for that.
So. And this sold out on the pre-order, so I had to get it, definitely, because nice. I love DJ Rex. I love Rex.
I'm waiting for the Millennium Falcon to get to Toys R Us here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though I'm not a fan, I did what I didn't want to do and had to get DJ Rex. But, yeah, I agree. These should be exclusive. Hopefully they will get back to exclusivity once the park open, hopefully soon. So... Man, I just want to go back to Galaxy's Edge.
I just want to go to Main Street.
Yeah, Main Street should be open. I mean, this is a totally different show, but Main Street should at least be open. They should do what they're doing at Knott's Berry Farm. You got the shops, and you could do like food specials, and close it off at like the hub where you can still see the castle, but you know you can. It has a limited of people in there, of course, but yeah, I agree. Hopefully soon. I'll end what I'm saying about Galaxy's Edge, and I've said this multiple times. I have a friend, a big Disney fan, but not a big Star Wars fan, and so he doesn't really care for Galaxy's Edge. He has no attachment to it, no like emotional ties. You know, likes some of the movies, but it's like. He's like, I don't know. There's nothing to do there. There's just the two attractions, and it kind of sucks. And at the same time, I'm looking at him like, dude, I could spend the entire day there, just looking at the walls.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, seeing the detail, the blaster marks, the Easter eggs, oh, my God. Then seeing the Falcon and the spires at night, how they have them lit up, and with the fireworks.
Fireworks in Galaxy's Edge is pretty lit.
Yeah, it is cool. And I like how you don't hear music. It's just random fireworks. The thing that always gets me is the sound of the ships taking off above you.
That's pretty cool.
And you obviously you don't see them, but I still look up like, where'd they go?
Yeah. Imagine like, if squirrel. They like added like something that vibrated the ground.
Oh,
like when ships
that'd be
came
sweet.
Up. Yeah, like just yeah. something like. So, but
yeah,
and there's but... only the you can only see Disneyland in one place in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. I think there's two.
What's the second?
And it's you see the same thing. If is it you see the so from the queue, the glass of mm-hmm. the Falcon.
Yeah,
you can kind of see
Big Thunder,
and deep far in the background, Mission Breakout. Which is still spacey, so I that's okay. And Big Thunder looks like its own little spire.
Yeah. I didn't know you could
then
see.
Then there's a...
Yeah. Guardians. Okay, I'll look next time.
And I think one of the walkways you could kind of see Big Thunder. But, I mean, for the most part, yeah, you're right. But, oh, man. All right. I'm done. I want to go back now. I was excited about the show. Now it's just making me sad. But you guys, thanks for your comments. Those are some great memories, even if they're of me crying. whatever makes you happy. I can't wait to get back to Galaxy's Edge. I can't wait to ride Rise of the Resistance with you. It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
And keep telling us some of your guys' favorite memories and what you'd like to see in the future of Galaxy's Edge. But, yeah, that'll be it for our Galaxy's Edge Revisited show. Once again, I want to thank Amy Ratcliffe for joining us and talking Star Wars and Disney with us. That was so cool, and I'd love to have her on the show again.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Coming up next month, well, I mean, we're going to try to pump out two Halloween theme shows. We don't know if it's going to be two yet. We don't know if it's going to be one, but we were kind of teasing it the last couple episodes, but we're going to kind of go outside the box and not really do your cliche, like, ooh, creepy Disneyland or creepy favorite scary movies and favorite stuff, but two filmmakers that I am a big fan of, we're going to highlight, and we got to figure out if we're going to highlight them separately, like two shows or one. And so not in any particular order. And he's done a lot of Disney movies, especially The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is a big Disney holiday classic.
Yes.
Tim Burton. And we're not going to talk about just their Disney movies, but just some of their creepy movies. One of my favorites is Sleepy Hollow, you know, Sweeney Todd. It's going to be Halloween themed, but it's not going to be completely Disney. And of course, one of my all time favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro, who hopefully we'll get that Haunted Mansion reboot. We'll talk about, I know we'll talk about the Eddie Murphy one. We'll leave that.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
But he's also kind of like known for some really good scary movies and creepy. And as I said, both of them are two of my favorite directors. So we're going to go outside the box a little bit. And then after outside the box, we're going to go some TikToks.
Ooh, that was a good
little
one.
Tease there. So that'll be early November, and we're going to have two very cool Disney, I'll call them Disney Universe TikTokers. Is that what it's called? Are they called TikTokers or
influencers? I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Did you want to tease your future project, or you want to wait on that a little bit?
We'll wait till we have a name.
Okay, that works.
We're going to work on a name, and then we'll do that.
Okay.
We're trying another show. I'm trying another show.
But for Disney Universe DUTV, finally,
yes.
Something original for that. So it's going to be really cool. You guys are going to like that. So, yeah. So where can people find us?
They can find us
on the socials,
on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Anchor. You can find us on Anchor. That's our new one. You cannot find us on Stitcher anymore. And there's like seven others you listed that they can find us.
Yeah, Google Podcasts or just basically anywhere.
The new ones, the podcast belt or whatever you said.
Any major podcast platforms. You guys can obviously interact with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Twitter.
And, yeah, we're going to have some fun. And yeah, cool. I had a really awkward way to end the show, but.
Bye.
See you. But once again, thank you for listening to 76 or 77, episode 77. We're just cruising along here. And we'll be back really soon, probably less than 2 weeks, with some fun, creepy stuff. So until next time,
may the force be with you.
Till infinity and beyond. Until the spire.